At this church, I've never been afraid to talk about finances, money. Growing up in churches, our pastors were afraid to say anything about finances in fear of making people mad, leaving the church, and I never understood that. All through the Word of God, God talks about finances and He wants you to have it. But listen to me, He just doesn't want finances to have you. Because if it has you, then it controls and you won't be able to do with it what God needs you to do with it at times. Like during this holiday season, God needs you to be a blessing to people. And that's why we do Angel Tree and we do so many things in our church and we help so many people. And that, again, is the reason that we do that, is we want to honor God with these kind of things. A few weeks ago, I began to talk about some reasons why we even tithe in the first place. I've heard so many people talk about when you give, how you give, why do you give, is tithing still for today, and all those questions that a lot of people have. And usually when someone says is tithing for today, they're looking for an excuse not to tithe. Say amen to that, because you got to speak the truth. Instead of just honoring God with your finances, when you understand the principles of God and God being the provider, not your job, not your family or whatever, not your business, God has to be your provider. And when He's your provider, then you operate in His principle kingdom ways. That's what we do, is we operate by the Bible. Well, as we know, the Bible talks about finances over 2,000 times in this Bible. And so we've got to dig into it and find out what does God actually say about finances. What does He have to say about it? Well, one of the things that I believe there's about 10 reasons why one gives, one tithes and gives offerings and alms and first fruits and so on, is to show our love for God. He so loves us that we're praying constantly, God bless me. God, give me favor in our business. Bring more customers. All those things. In rodeo, we're praying, God, allow me to catch, help me. Cause an angel to put my loop on the steer, and all that is not the way you're supposed to pray, but we pray it anyway. Because an angel's not going to put a loop on a steer or a calf. You have to do it. You have to go and rope and do what you know to do, which is to head or heel a steer or rope a calf or ride a bull or whatever the event calls for. But I want you to see something, that it's to show my love for God. That's the reason that I give to Him. Because I love Him so much that I want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just don't want just it to be selfishly for myself. Although when you sow a seed, the seed has to produce a harvest. And that harvest is for us to then get out of debt and bless other people and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's why we give. But I want you to see something in the Song of Solomon about verse 7, where the Bible says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would offer all the goods of his house for love, he would be utterly scorned and despised. In other words, a lot of times the devil attacks people that give to him. Why would you give your last dollar to the Lord? Well, when you understand the principles of sowing and reaping, I'm telling you, you honor God with everything. And that's not saying that you got to sell everything and give it away. No, it's just saying to honor God, because it's the love that we have to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why you give. It's because of the love of God. Not for any other purpose, but because we love Him so much. And then it puts you into the principle of sowing and reaping. And I'm here to tell you, a giver will be blessed beyond measure. I mean, the anointing of people then given unto you, like Luke's gospel says, if you'll give, it'll be given unto you with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It'll cause men to give unto you or your bosom. And you give with the right heart. Amen? So in that bucket and in this bucket, I want you to give with those thoughts in mind that we're giving not because it's another tradition or it's the law of the Old Testament. No, thank God for grace. We get to give because we love God in Jesus' name. Come give. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Plus, isn't it awesome that we get to do everything debt-free? We don't owe a dime on this church. All y'all that are watching, we don't owe one dime, thank God, on this building. We have built everything you see. This church will seat about 1,000. And one day, it's going to be full. But I'm here to tell you, thank God that we don't owe a dime on it. We're still building. We're still believing God to finish our kids' church and finish our offices. But thank God that I'd rather be building than to have a 30-year note where you're having to pay $10,000 a month and all that pressure. And I don't want to have that pressure on me. Does anybody else want to have that pressure? No. Nah, forget that. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's dismiss all our kids and our youth with a big round of applause, and I mean a big one. Dismiss the kids out the back and our youth. Thank you for being here this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at them all go. Where'd all the church go? Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. I like how people in that section are sitting at the back so they don't have to be on TV. I mean, come on, sit at the front. What's wrong with y'all? Thank you, Jesus. How many brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. Thank God for bringing your word, your sword. Amen? Amen. I mean, the sword is so important, and it's our life. Amen? I want to minister a message that is just simply entitled, God the Comforter. And I want to open it up this way. We're in the season, the holiday season. We have Christmas now, and in just a little over a week tomorrow will be Christmas Day. And by the way, we will have a Christmas Eve service at the same time, so invite your family to come experience Cowboy Church and be a part of it. But with being in the Christmas season, I have to just be honest with you, being a pastor and minister, and as much as I minister across the country, this is a very dreadful time for a lot of people. You wonder why. Why would it be that way for people? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Obviously, we know that really it shouldn't be dreaded because we're talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus. I mean, we should be excited about, man, Jesus being born and us celebrating as a country and as families just that, the birth of Jesus. Man, how exciting is that Jesus actually died for us and he was born. Then he didn't have to be born. God didn't have to send his only son. And then when he was born, he didn't have to fulfill what God had sent him to do because God made him 100% man as well as 100% God. And he had to be 100% man to experience everything that you and I experience today. Defeat, the spirit of depression, because see, in this holiday season, a lot of people experience depression. Maybe they've lost a loved one. I'm reminded of a pastor that I know that his grandmother was put in the hospital about 2 weeks before Christmas. A very sad thing. She had major heart issues, and she was put in the hospital. A tragic time, obviously, for the family. Her husband and the minister's granddad would go and see her every day, but over a course of time, they started seeing some changes in him. He withdrew. He was depressed. His mind began to deteriorate. He began to babble and hallucinate. And they're thinking, well, it must be because of the arthritis medicine that he's taken. And they didn't think much about it. And one day the granddad didn't come and see his wife in the hospital, and the minister's dad called him and said, hey, we need to go check on Dad. Meet me at the house. And so that's what they did. And when they arrived at the house, it was locked. So they went around to the garage, figuring he was probably doing something in the garage. And that's where they had found that the dad, the granddad, the husband had taken his own life. And this was just right before Christmas, see. So imagine the next year then, as they're about to have the holiday season, the traditions of what goes on in their family, and the memories then come back of granddad, dad, my husband is gone. You see, all those things happen a lot of times during these months because families come together and they fellowship, you see. I'm reminded of my dad. Almost 4 years ago, this coming March, is when he went to heaven. But the memories was all started through the holiday season, because it was 1 minute when he was hugging our necks and telling us that he loves us, and he was being attacked in his brain. And then the very next so many months, just a few short months, he didn't even know anybody. We had a tradition. He would read the Christmas story, and all the grandkids would come and get on his lap. And that's why I did the Christmas story last night, is because it means so much to me. But yet, each year now, my dad is not there to share the Christmas story with his family. Thank God he's in heaven. But just the memories, see, of me not having my dad, my mom not having her husband. You know, it's a sad time sometimes. Just those thoughts of this time. And I'm not going to make this a sad service, I can promise you that, because there's some comfort from our God. Say amen to that. And I tell so many people that when someone goes to be with the Lord and they leave this earth, it's just a celebration because they're not dead any longer. They're alive in heaven. And the good news for you and I is we have to continue to live. We cannot die with them. But yet so many people die. So many people have a hard time during these months. I just got back Friday from going and singing at my best friend in high school's dad's funeral. His dad died right in the middle of this season. It's supposed to be so joyful. But yet, now his dad's not going to be there on Christmas Day. Imagine what they might be going through, you see. But listen to me. I'm here to tell you, God can be your comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want you to turn in your Bible to there. I want to allow us to understand that God, no matter what kind of tribulation we go through, can be the comfort for us in this season. And it might not be you that may be having the thoughts of depression or the sadness of not having someone there that used to be there. Maybe you know someone. There might be a single parent that has nobody but her kids or his kids. And they're in desperate need of some comfort. Well, let's just see what the Apostle Paul says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's read in verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, thank God for that, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Oh man, what an awesome set of scriptures here. You see, the Apostle Paul called God the Father of mercies. We need to dig into the Bible, because anytime you read it, you need to figure out, why is he saying these things? Now, we understand in the New Testament and the Old Testament that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So every single thing that is put in this Word of God is inspired by God, and we need to figure out, why did he say the things that he said? Now, we're talking about just receiving some comfort. You know, I'm not a minister that just preach a bunch of down ministry, you know, down messages, depressing. No, I want to be able to lift people out of the trials and tribulations that one goes through. But we have to understand that every single one of us go through, or is supposed to go through, trials and tribulations. The problem is, a lot of people don't go through the valleys of the shadow of death. They stay right in the midst of them and build a tent and stay there a lot of times for years and years, when really God's needing us to get on through them. And knowing that God's the comforter, y'all, will cause us to get on through a trial and tribulation. But why would he say that God is the Father of mercies? I think we need to look at this word mercy and figure out, what does it say? What does it mean? I found out that it's a Greek word that describes compassion or sorrow. It tells us that God completely understands and identifies with our suffering soul. Remember, we are a spirit, right? Say amen to that. That has a soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, that then lives in this body called the flesh. That's why we understand, and you've probably heard it before, we're a spirit, soul, and body. You know, we are a spirit, thank God. In other words, your body, the fleshly body, because of sin, right, is corrupted. It's going to die one day. It gets sick. Those kind of things. Thank God, through the blood of Jesus, we don't have to get sick. We can live in health. But we understand, because of sin, that's why there's sin and there's death. That's why one day this flesh will die. And we have to understand that. But while we're living, thank God, we can have heaven right here on earth. Say amen to that. I mean, we can have comfort. We can have all the glorious things that God's given us. But when we understand that God understands and identifies with our sufferings, the things that we go through, the hard times that we might have, the difficulties we have in our health sometimes. I mean, listen, we've got to be real so that we can be the overcomers that God's called us to be. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, man. Amen. Man, we got to understand that God is the one that comforts. So this word mercy is important for us to identify that God is our source of everything. But look at this word comfort, because you notice that it says Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. It's literally a Greek word that describes the encouragement, the comfort, the consolation, that one provides to another who is undergoing hardship and suffering. In other words, it's encouragement in a time of desperate need. Now, I don't know if I could probably go through the crowd of all of you people that are here, people that may be watching and listening on the internet, and we could probably have a lot of testimonies of some hardship that you went through, that you had back when. You know, most everybody knows my testimony, right? I mean, raised in a ministry family. My dad was a pastor since 1970, right? He got his license to pastor and preach right after, or kind of during when he worked for John Wayne on the 26 Bar Ranch in Arizona. He had this heart of God. Of course, his family and my mom's family, a lot of ministers in our family. I mean, we went to church all the time. We grew up in the ministry. I mean, it was a great time. I loved growing up, but as I got in college, I went through a tribulation, a trial, and I had a decision to make. My heart was hurt. I was going through this stuff, but yet I was still right in the middle of it, and the decision was press on to God or away from Him. And I have to be honest with you, during college, for 2 years, I went away from Him. When I got back from the ranch after this heartbreak, some of my friends said, hey, come with us, and we'll get your mind off of what's going on in your life. And that was probably the pivotal moment that I should have stopped and said, nope, I need to go this way. But I didn't. I went the opposite. And as most of you know, the party was at my house. I'm a very fun guy. Say amen to that. I just am. I know how to have fun. I know how to have fun with Christ Jesus, man. I mean, it might be with a little bit of pranking, you know. I found out in college that you can run out a whole dorm when you put a roadkill skunk in the dryer. It will get you in a lot of trouble in college, but you come on, y'all done stupid stuff too. The things that I did. One day I got on my knees and I said, God, forgive me. God, I know better. I mean, my family probably had heard about it and was all the things that I was doing and say, nah, boy, you know better. And I did. I knew better. But right in the midst of that trial, I needed some comfort. I needed people saying, hey, no, come on, get up. Get up. Don't you do that. You're better than that. And I'm not talking in a condemnation and guilt way. I'm talking about just someone lifting me up and saying, hey, no, come on, brother. That's not who you are. And there were people that tried to do that over 2 years. And finally, that one day, 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas, I said, God, forgive me. I know better. I know better. I know better. And I'm telling you, God forgave me. You see, I don't know about you guys, but we're in desperate need today that this word comfort applies to our life, that encouraging time in, again, a desperate need. Or in other words, in those times, God Himself comes to the assistance of those who are suffering difficulty, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional. You see, a lot of times people can get depressed just because they have physical issues and they can't be mobile like they're used to in this holiday season. And then all of a sudden it turns into emotional, not just physical, where then their minds are beat up. Well, this just part of life. It's part of it that, you know, I have to be in this situation. When in all reality, if you would just muster up the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can get out of that mess in Jesus' name. You can begin to speak to the mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea. And don't you doubt in your heart, but just simply believe the things which you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth. Amen. Well, why don't we start saying some good things? Why don't we start saying that I'm the head, not the tail? Why don't we start saying that I'm above this situation, this difficulty, this trial? And I'm telling you, if you will, you'll be the one that comes on out of it, and it'll cause strength to come to your life. Say amen to this, y'all. In verse 4, I noticed how Paul continued, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Look at that word tribulation, because in the Greek, it depicts a crushing pressure, a pressure far beyond what normal human beings could undergo or survive. So when the Apostle Paul is writing this, you can tell he was suffering immensely. The Apostle Paul was going through a lot of things at this particular time. I'll never forget him writing some of the epistles in prison. I mean, think about that for a minute. He's in prison. And he's writing about joy. I mean, he knew something, man. He had such a knowing of the comfort of God in his life. Because I don't know about you, but I've done a study on that Mamertine prison that he was in ancient Rome. It's still there to this day. Matter of fact, you can go to it. It's like a museum. And there's still a hole in the floor where they would drop the prisoners. And then cover it up. Utter darkness in this hole, this little dungeon-like. But yet, the bottom of it, the Euphrates River in that area would go through that imperial palace. And when it got up, it would bring all that crap and junk and the sewer system into that area where they put those prisoners. So when you study it out, the stench would kill you, really. I mean, it was terrible. But when you study it out, that wasn't the worst part for me. Because all that filth attracts rats. And when you study it, those rats would come on those prisoners. And now listen to me. This is how, since it was... there was nowhere to lay down. They chained those prisoners up with their hands in the air. So they had to stand there. And obviously, you know, when your body gets tired, they would just dangle on the cuffs that was of the chains that was holding them up. But then the thoughts of it being utter darkness, you ever stuck your hand in front of your face in a dark room and you couldn't see it? I used to do that when I was little. That fear that I can't see anything. Who's here? And then thinking about rats that would begin to come and chew on the flesh of those prisoners. Now I say that for a reason, because the Apostle Paul at this very time wrote the book of Philippians. And he mentioned joy numerous times. I don't know about you. How could you have joy in that condition? And by the way, he had never done anything wrong except proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Think about that. He was going through a lot of stuff. And here, when he's writing here to the Corinthian people, he had to have been going through some intense sufferings. Man. But thank God for Jesus. When you study this out, God stood by Paul and gave him the strength that he needed to go through the trial successfully. Man, we ought to clap right there. I mean, that'd be a good time to clap, you know. Because if it's our life, man, oh, praise God, I don't have to stay in this junk. I don't have to stay in this mess any longer. I don't have to stay in this condition. No, because of the comfort of God. Then Paul was able then to comfort other people who were in trouble. How about that? You see, this should apply to you and I today, especially in this season. Again, as we thought about all the things that people go through just in this season, I can imagine mom having to go through another Christmas without her husband. But you know what she decided to do? Get the comfort from God Almighty, and then get the comfort from her family. But not just that, then now she comforts people. Hey, you know, she begins to minister to people that are going through the very same thing. You've lost some loved one, not a problem. You just got to keep living. You got to stay into the Word of God. Amen. You see, when we do that, that's the comfort that God is talking about through the Apostle Paul right here in 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I want to leave you with about three things that should comfort you today. And if it comforts you, then use it to comfort someone else in this season, because I can promise you there's people that need God's comfort in this season. Maybe you're here this morning, or you're watching, you're going through some tribulations of some sort. Maybe your marriage is not as successful as you desire it to be. Maybe your finances are being attacked. Maybe the doctor has said you have this health issue and this is just part of it. We can manage it. Well, why don't we get our faith up that if we have health issues, we can say by the power of God Almighty and the anointing of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, that by His stripes we're healed. Amen. Why don't we begin to speak life over our situations, over our marriages? Why don't we begin to speak life over our businesses and over our jobs? Why don't we begin to speak life over our minds so that we don't stay defeated in life's trials and tribulations? Why don't we come up on top, praise God? Well, here's three things that I believe can help us understand how to receive God's comfort or then comfort someone else. Number one, that people's testimonies are powerful. Because when you comfort, then you can be comforted. I'll never forget when I was, you know, a year or two in college, or I might have even been out of college, going through another kind of difficult time. I didn't know if I was supposed to submit to the call of God. I knew I was called. I had such a heart for the Lord about age 13. I got filled with the Holy Ghost at a Baptist kids camp. Did y'all hear me? Didn't know what the heck that was, but man, I knew the power of God had come all over me, and I knew what I was supposed to do, but I still was struggling, you know. I'm supposed to be a preacher. I wanted to rope. I wanted to do other things. Finally, one day, I submitted to the call. But I was hurt, and I didn't know, you know, I hadn't met my awesome wife yet, and I don't know where she was hiding. Well, she wasn't born yet, probably, but... That was a good one, wasn't it, baby? Hey, we're just eight years older than, you know, separation. And I was going through this tough time, and I'll never forget my brother Tim was roping, and he was traveling down the road and roping with a kid in Andrews, Texas. And the guy's name was D. King. And where he was roping with him, his D. King's dad was a pastor. And so here I am, just hurt and going through a lot of stuff in my life, and we decided to go to his dad's service, like a Wednesday night service, and out of the blue, he said, "Corey, come on up here and minister to us." I say, "Your mama?" "What'd you say?" "I am in no mood to minister. Matter of fact, I need to be ministered to. I'm going through a lot of stuff, see." And, you know, I wasn't about to, you know, in front of a lot of people say no. I mean, I was raised in the ministry. And in college, the Bible study was at my dorm room. And I was helping all those kids going through relationship problems and all that stuff. And, you know, so I wasn't going to say no. So I said, "Okay." And he said, "Just share with us whatever you feel is like that's on your heart." And I said, "Okay." But here's one thing that probably taught me the most is the minute I began to tell my testimony and what I was going through, I got through it. You see, when I began to minister and comfort others, I was comforted. You see, that's an important thing, that a testimony can be life-changing. And I'm not saying a testimony has to be something bad in your life, but I'm here to tell you, using something that you've gone through to help someone else is key, man. It'll bless your heart and it'll bless someone else. Number two, I love that when we go through a tribulation time, a trial, that God will step in. Number two, God will step in. Matter of fact, as we've studied here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he'll personally come and comfort you. Think about that. God himself. He's not going to send the minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to come minister to you, brother and sister. No. God comes personally to comfort you. Man, I think that's so awesome. No. God himself comes to comfort you. There's been times when I'll be by myself. I can imagine all y'all that your husbands are in the military and gone or whatever and other jobs. And there's been times when I've been by myself and I've needed to be comforted. The loneliness. I remember starting in the ministry before I was married, and we was going to the college rodeos, and I was all by myself. I mean, all the other kids would go to the dances and do all those things, and I felt like, well, I don't need to be a part of that, so I'm just going to remain here. But the loneliness, you're all by yourself. Now, if we ever had a service, hundreds of those kids would come. But the more I was by myself, I needed the comfort of God Almighty. I can remember the presence of God, the goosebumps. You ever felt that? The goosebumps when you're just praising God would come all over you, and I would feel the true peace of God that passes understanding. You see, I need that. I still need it to this very day. And I thank God that he personally came to comfort me. It wasn't very long after standing and not going over and, you know, and being like the world, that all those kids started to come to our little camper. We would have 20 or 30 of those college students wanting to play the guitar and have a little Bible study. I mean, the move of God, all because we stood and we wasn't going to be a part of that worldly stuff. Now, and not to say that's bad and or sinful. I mean, I just didn't want to do it. But the loneliness while I was waiting was immense. Oh, but God comforted me, see. He wants to do that to you. He'll personally comfort. And then finally, number three, God will strengthen you. You know how God strengthens you? By saying you can do it. You can do it. You can overcome every single obstacle that you face in your life. You can do it. Just having someone to say, "You can do it, Corey Ross. Don't you give up. Don't you dare quit." That's what I needed in my life. How about you? I mean, just someone saying, "Hey, don't you dare give up." That's why I'm teaching those five things to everybody that I come in contact with. With number one, don't you give up. Don't you give up on your marriage. Don't you give up on your business. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you give up on the vision God gave you. Don't you dare. Don't you get used to living this way when you need to get on out of it and get on through to the promised land. No, don't you dare give up. Number two, remember, is don't be late. Don't be late. These are the five things I've been teaching everybody. I've been teaching my kids, everyone I come in contact, anybody, I teach them these five things. Don't be late, number two. Why? Because it shows character, y'all. And don't be late to church. Someone hit your neighbor, that was your fault. I mean, being late, I would rather be an hour early, remember, than a minute late. I'm teaching my kids these principles. I'm wanting to instill that. No, you get up. I almost told London we was leaving her yesterday. You want to stay home? You better brush that hair faster. You know, they get pretty crafty where they start learning how to put makeup on in the vehicle. But it shows character. Number three. We're always kind. We're Christians. We're kind. In Vegas, when I was doing the service at the national finals last week, there's an opportunity in Vegas to not be kind. Matter of fact, we had some waitresses that we didn't even know if they were alive. They was not friendly. And you know us, we're going to be friendly. Hey, what's wrong with you, woman? You know, I will slap you. Upside the head. No, then I had to remember, no, we have to be kind. Because I'm here to tell you, in today's world, we need a little kindness. We're plenty divided, right? Number four, confidence is key. You have to remain, and think about this, you have to have confidence in everything you do, in your business. If you're a welder, you got to have confidence in what your trade is. Because if you don't, it's going to be shabby. And no one's going to have confidence in you. But man, when you have confidence in the Word of God, that God is my source, He's my comforter, He's my strength. That confidence then, man, can't stop you. You have a little kid that's dealing with confidence issues. Oh man, if you can ever start building them up, getting them to get that confidence in what they do, they'll go a long, long ways. Well, we need that in the Word of God, y'all. And then finally, number five, being teachable. Don't ever think you know it all. I don't care how old someone is or how young or whatever. Don't think you know it all. Amen. Because all of us can learn something from someone. Amen. I want to be teachable. When I teach people how to rope, how to do just the basics of roping. If they're teachable, man, they'll go real fast. You can teach them fast. If they're not, it's hard for me to teach analytical people because they're constantly trying to analyze, how can I make this better? No, just listen to what I'm saying. No, just do it the way that we know how to do it. This is proven. You swing so that loop stays open. And it doesn't hit your head, or it doesn't figure eight. It stays open into just do it this way. If they're teachable, man, I'll show you someone to go to the top. Amen. You see, this is what we need today, y'all. In this season, I pray in Jesus' name that you get comforted, or that you comfort someone in a desperate, desperate need. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give God praise. He's worthy. He's worthy of it. Father, it is a pleasure to be able to be comforted by you and to know that you personally comfort us. We need it today more than any other time. And I realize that we're in a season, a holiday season that not everybody is joyful like we are as Christians. We understand that for a lot of people, there's pressure. to buy presents for people. Maybe they don't have the finances to do it. I know people, sir, that have gone in debt so that their family can have a good Christmas. And that's not even the meaning of Christmas. And I thank you, sir, that you would remind us that you're the reason for this season. Jesus Christ and his birth. I'm so honored, sir, that you would come to this earth to be the Savior for us. I lift up our country. I lift up our president and all the government, the Senate and the House. I lift up local governments, city governments. I lift up people in authority. I lift up Judge Stout. I lift up people that are running for office, that they would be comforted by you, but they would seek your face in everything that they do, that they would cast every care upon you. And Father, I pray comfort on the United States of America. Begin to comfort us. Cause the anointing of joy, of peace to come on people. I speak prosperity over people and their businesses and their finances this Christmas. But most importantly, that we're always, always, always reminded that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I ask you to do that right now. People come to this church from miles around saying that they're the churches that they visit and go to don't give a salvation plan. I've never understood that. And I understand discipleship and mentorship, but you got to be born again to get discipled and mentored. And I always want to have a heart to see people give their lives to Jesus Christ, young and old. And you'll be surprised, the people that come here that are older that give their lives to Jesus Christ. And so I told the Lord a long time ago I'd never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive him. Maybe you're listening, watching this. The question is, do you know Jesus? If you died and you left this earth, do you know that you know that you know that you would spend eternity in heaven? According to John chapter 14, there's only one way to get to the Father in heaven, and it's by Jesus. The Word says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to give your life to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray a prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. This is Romans 10 and 9, y'all, that says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I do not want you going to hell. I want you to go to heaven. But the only way to get to heaven is by receiving Jesus. All of you that are here this morning with your heads bowed and eyes closed, or you're watching, if you're saved, thank God for that. Man, rejoice. Golly, thank God you're going to heaven when you leave this earth. You can have heaven here on earth. But we have to understand that there's a lot of people around us all the time that need Jesus. And we have to have that heart. That's really why I have you pray this prayer with us. All the believers I have pray with people that are receiving Jesus for the first time. This is why I do it. Is that you'll learn the spirit of this prayer and you lead people to Jesus wherever you're at. Maybe they won't come to church, but our heart is to see people saved. And when they get saved, then bring them here. Bring them to a Bible-believing church where you live. The question again is, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven when you die? If you don't know the answer to that, give Jesus your life right now by praying this prayer. And believers, you know what to do. Pray it with us. You ready? Y'all that are watching, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray this prayer right where you're at. And pray it. And when you mean it, pray it out loud and believe it. You ready? Say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you, Jesus, that I believe you have been raised from the dead. And today is my God day because Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. Right here with no one looking around real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, it's an honor to call you a brother or sister in Christ. But listen to me, don't ever, ever, ever be afraid to let people know that Jesus now is your Lord. All I want you to do, and I'm not going to embarrass you or have you come to the front or stand up, I want right where you're at, if you just prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come into your life, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand and then just put it right back down. All you're saying is, God, I meant that prayer. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. And you're also saying you get to have heaven right here on earth. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, when I say three, let me see your hand, then just put it right back down. Ready? One, with every bit of boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Praise God. It's an honor. Thank you, brother. Thank you, little man. Amen. God. Y'all that are watching by the internet, it's an honor to have you. Spread the word that now you're going to be able to watch this ministry every single Sunday, no matter what. We may have other things that come on that we might broadcast live, but hey, I want you to know it's an honor to have you. If you just gave your life to Jesus, let us know about it. Just go back to that website, wccowboychurch.org, and just send us an email. Let us know that you enjoyed it. Spread the word that you're now able, when you're traveling, when you're rodeoing, when you're not able to come to church, when you're gone, you can watch us live every single Sunday at 10:30 Central Time. God bless you. Did y'all have a good time? Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you stand to your feet?